הלב נמשך, אני בוכה להישאר, הכל כדאי, אני חי בארץ ישראל. This is my home, this is the place to be, מרגיש את אלוקיי כאן בקרבי, אז תעלה אחי ושב איתי. This is my home, זה
You're listening to the Bring Them Home Aliyah podcast, hosted by Josh Wander.
Welcome back to Bring Them Home. This is Josh Wander from Yerushalayim Eir Kodesh. It is Erev Pesach, almost Erev Pesach, Shabbos HaGadol, and we're fortunate to be here in the studio with Rav Nachman Kahana. Welcome, Rav Nachman.
Shalom, Josh. Shalom, dear listeners. Shalom.
So what interesting wisdom can you share today?
Well, in Israel, all indicators here are pointing to next week's election. It is, to our discredit, will be the fourth election in 2 years because the balance is such in Israel that that what we call, say, the right and the left are very finely balanced, and we just can't get it together in the parliamentary system. Anyway, some people are hoping for Bibi to get in. Some people are hoping for someone else to get in. But the point is, we, as believing Jews, what do we really want? What is the government that we really want? That's what I want to speak about. Every pasuk, every verse in the Torah is significant and important. Not only every verse, every word is significant. Not every word, but even every letter. If there's one letter in the Torah which becomes erased, or there's a negia, an attachment, because in hot weather it expands, anything that even one letter is not proper, then the whole Sefer Torah is invalidated for public reading. But there are certain psukim in the Torah. As I said, each pasuk is important, every word. But a certain psukim, which are more meaningful for people on our level than other psukim. For example, there's a pasuk in Bereishit, says, V'chot Tuval Kayin Nama. Tuval Kayin's sister was Nama. What does that mean? We don't know what it is, but there are Kabbalistic meanings to it. But we are not on that level. One of the most beautiful psukim that we have over, Hashem says, "Vaseh etchem al kanfei nesharim." I carried you on the wings of eagles when I took you out of Egypt. "Vaseh etchem al kanfei nesharim," and I carried you on the wings of eagles. Means that each person had his personal eagle that he was riding on. Maybe that's what the pasuk means. But let's say it also has another kind of meaning. What does it mean? The Torah writes, the signs of a kosher animal and the signs of a kosher fish. But there are no signs of a kosher bird. We know that an animal has split hooves and it chews its cud. And a fish has to have fins and all scales. But there are no indications of what is a kosher bird. And here there's a tradition. There are four signs, four kosher signs of a bird. First sign is it cannot be a bird of prey. If it's a bird of prey, then it's not kosher. Number two, it has to have, we call it zefek. A zefek is like, I don't know what it's called in English, like another kind of a stomach, but protrudes in the chest of the bird, protrudes out. Number three, the korkaban, the pupik that we call, can be the one you can open it up and it splits open. And number four, it has an extra finger, not on the line of the other toes, not on the line of the toes, but a little bit above the toes. These are the four signs. An eagle has none of them. It's a bird of prey, has no zefek, and the korkaban cannot be split open. And it doesn't have that kind of a of a finger, an extra finger. So what does it mean? Hashem is telling us that this pasuk, I took you out on the wings of eagles to say that when I took you out, you had nothing kosher about you. You are a bunch of slaves. Slaves for hundreds of years. What does that do to a person? He has a tradition of being already the fifth generation of being a slave. You had no Torah. You had no mitzvot. You had no politeness. You were all crass. It was terrible. But what? Just like an eagle. There's no kosher signs. And nothing kosher about you except what? You have a Jewish neshama. And that Jewish neshama, when it's processed in a proper way, it's like a diamond, shines. And I knew what you could be. And in 7 weeks, the Jewish people received the Torah. The uplift was so quick because you have the Jewish neshama. What am I coming to? The Gemara says, in Masechta Shvuot, it says there are four Rishuyot, the four kinds of divisions of the classic Jewish government. Like in the United States, there's the legislature, and then there's the Supreme Court, and there's the Congress, the legislative, then there's the President and the Supreme Court. In the classic Jewish society, there are four Rishuyot. There are four different areas. Number one is the king, the melech, who's in charge of civil matters, including the army. The Kohen Gadol, who is his responsibility for the Beit HaMikdash. And then the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin was not a court of law in this classic meaning. It's that Sanhedrin dealt with a lot of problems, clarifying things which are not clear. And also every day, there are hundreds of Kohanim that came of age and had to go to the Sanhedrin, which would verify the genealogy and the physical situation. And then was the reigning prophet of the day. These are the four different Rishuyot, four different areas of the Jewish government. Today, we are like an Nesher. We don't even have one of them. When the government, a classic Jewish government, has to have all four. We're voting now for who? A political party. And if they get in, if your party gets in, doesn't really matter. Because it's not what's supposed to be. When we go to elections, we have to know, this is what it is now, but it's not what we really want. The question, how can we rebuild the Beit HaMikdash? We'll be a king. Where's the prophet? Where's the Sanhedrin? This is, we still have a lot to do in our life. It also depends a lot on how many Jews are in Eretz Israel. It depends on the outlook of the Jewish people. There's still a lot of work to do. Still, I say all the time, we took all the miracles that happened to the Jewish people from day number one until today. There are still greater miracles which are going to happen in the future. The real history of the Jewish people began, but it's just the beginning of Jewish history. As strange as that seems, the great things, because whatever happened to us were always on a local level. Mitzrayim, Babylon, or like Syria, Ashur. But now in our times, it's the Jewish people on a world, global level. Like now the ICC in Europe wants to take us to court and other things like this. The miracles which happen on local levels, like Pesach, will happen now on grand level, global level. We have so much yet to do in the Jewish people. I recall when I came to Israel, as a young man, it was in 1962, I said, take a look. I didn't fight here in the underground. I didn't hoist the flag on May 14, 1948. It's all done. I came to a finished country. 1962. How wrong I was. People say today, I'll come to Israel, everything's done already. The big buildings, 100 stories, industry, whatever you want. It hasn't even begun yet to register the Jewish people. It's starting to get now exciting. If you think what's happening now in Europe with the corona, it's attacking England, France, Germany, Italy, all the countries that did bad to the Jewish people. The time has come, also in the Arab world, the time has come, I think, Kodesh Baruch Hu has already forgiven the Jewish people. We're entering a stage of where all the enemies of the Jewish people are going to be punished. We're entering in a very exciting time in Jewish history. And B'zat Hashem, even old people, we hope to be alive long enough to be able to take part in the joy of seeing the Yeshua, the Kodesh Baruch Hu. In any event, we're dealing now with Pesach. Pesach just came, as I said, it's just the barely beginning of Jewish history. We still have we're still enslaved by Goyim, that we're not really a free people, of course. No country really is in the world actually very free, because we're all dependent on somebody and other people. But B'zat Hashem, when we sit on Pesach night next Motzei Shabbat, in other words, a week and a half from now, B'zat Hashem, and we recline, and have to remember that Kodesh Baruch Hu, God from all the nations in the world, chose us. Why? Just take a look. Who could have been more loyal than the Jewish people? What did we go through to come to this day? The loyalty of Jewish people can never be matched by anybody. Just want to wish everybody Chag Kasher V'Sameach. I asked the question, what's more difficult, kasher or sameach? Kashrut or to be happy? Both of them are not easy. But if you're a believing Jew, it's going to be kasher and be sameach. Because whatever happens, we believe it's happening for the good. So Shabbat Shalom Lekulam.
You know, Rav Nachman, I feel I came here 30-something years ago in 1987, about 25 years after you came here. And before I came, of course, there were the great miracles of the wars of the Independence War in 1948, as you mentioned, and the Six-Day War in 1967, which you were zocha to be present at. But I think that in some ways I missed it all. I mean, it feels more like a war of attrition. There's slow things going on here and there, but you don't feel the great miracles, the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You don't feel them today. We're now 53 years after the reclaiming of the sovereignty, our sovereignty on the Temple Mount. Next week, there are two mitzvos in the Torah, which one is Chayiv Kares, two mitzvos asei, positive commandments that if one doesn't do, then they have a terrible punishment of karet. One of those is the Korban Pesach. For 53 years, we've had the Temple Mount in our hands, and we're still waiting for this basic rite of the Jewish people to be able to bring a Korban Pesach. What are your thoughts about how we can get out of this rut? How can we move on to the next stage? I understand that technologically we're advancing and we're doing great things in the world, but it seems like on a religious level we're sort of stuck. I always say when people come to the Kotel, they come to the Western Wall, our people have sort of hit a wall. You know, they don't realize that there's a greater goal. There's something on the other side of that wall that we need to extend our sovereignty to. What are your thoughts about how we're going to get out of this rut that we're in and move on to the next stage in our destiny?
I think Jewish history has shown the way that the Kodesh Baruch Hu works. There are long periods where nothing really happens. Then there's a leap and a bounds. Something happens dramatic. And then there's a period of time where people settle in. Then there's another jump, another change. We came here with the Medina. And then there was a time period of time for 19 years. We're building and building, nothing dramatic really. They came all of a sudden, Six-Day War. All of a sudden, Yerushalayim is ours. We've got 2,000 years. And then things go on like this. There'll be another jump soon. I don't know when, but when it's least expected. You say nothing much to do. Eretz Yisrael, according to the biblical boundaries, is a very, very large country. A country for hundreds of millions of people. It comes from the Mediterranean Ocean until after the Iraq, even to the Persian Gulf. It goes from Turkey to the Nile River. There's so much yet to do. Of course, and then there's another thing about the Jewish people. There must be hundreds of millions of Jews out there that don't know they're Jews. First, we have the descendants of the 10 tribes, or they. Then we have the Andalusim from Spain. There are tens of millions of them all over the world. They have to come back. There's so much to be done yet. We just began a little bit. And this little bit is so much to make a person, a dramatic change in a person's life. And there's so much to do in terms of land, in terms of the people, in terms of the Beit HaMikdash. And all this, is yet in front of us. Younger people should be happy for what they're going to see in the next 100 years.
Okay, we can daven for Yeshuot and Nechamot. We hope that next week we will be zocheh to bring the Korban Pesach, and we're hoping for that day. I think that there's a famous response, a tshuva from the Chassam Sofer, that he speaks about all the different reasons why one should think that one would consider not bringing a Korban Pesach, that he was asked by his father-in-law, Rabbi Akiva Eger. And he responded that we can get over all the challenges necessary to bring the Korban Pesach, except for one, that is that the Ottoman Turkish Sultan will not give us permission to access the Mokom HaMizbeach, the place where we have to bring to do Zrikat Adam, and therefore we can't do it today. And I think if you replace Ottoman Turkish Sultan with Bibi Netanyahu, we have the same issue today. We have a government that unfortunately doesn't give us this basic right, but we're hoping that they'll come to their right mind, and soon they will allow us to do that, and we will be on the next stage in our history, and we look forward to it. Thank you again.
Let me tell you something, Josh.
Yeah.
As a Kohen, I wonder that tomorrow the Beit HaMikdash is being built. What am I going to do? How are we going to do it? And just the certain number, the masses of people coming to this little mound. But one example, for every child that a woman brings to the world, she has to bring 2 korbanot. In other words, there'll be coming down to the Beit HaMikdash. Many of the Jewish mothers, each want to bring 2 korbanot. How can we do it? Korban Pesach. When is the people going to come, even though we need to call them better in a group. This group has representatives. I mean, the sheer numbers of people coming to this city, how does it work out? There has to be a miraculous way, because it doesn't work out logically. We're dealing now in huge numbers of Jewish people. Never had these kind of numbers. And how can the Kohanim do it? We don't even know what to do.
That is my biggest question. That is one of my biggest questions. Those that say that we're not meant to be proactive today, and we're supposed to just sit back and wait for Mashiach to take care of all our issues, including all our halachic doubts. My question is, if Mashiach comes tomorrow, let's say we have to wait for Mashiach, and Mashiach comes tomorrow in the Beis HaMikdash, like they suspect is going to fall down from Shemayim, and everything's going to be exactly like they intended to be. How are you going to know? How are all these people going to know all the halachot of Tuma and Tara and Kodshim and Taras? How are they going to know these things? What, is going to be some miraculous thing? It's going to just go into their brain. If you don't start preparing at least the knowledge now, the skill set, then what are you going to do when it happens?
I'll tell you, there's a story about the city of Chelem, you know, that city that people are not so wise. The people of Chelem, each one had problems. Everybody was worrying. Someone had a suggestion, let's hire someone who'll be the city warrior. He worked for everybody. This way, he relieves us of our worries. And someone said, okay, how are we going to pay him? Said, that's his worry. The Mashiach, let him worry about it. The problems are so big, they're beyond us. It has to do, it's miraculous. It's that we're not in the hands of Hashem. We just can't even figure it out. But when it happens, they oh, why didn't I think about that? Anyway.
So I'm a little bit confused by your words, because on one hand, I know that you are a very proactive person and believe very much in not just sitting back and waiting for the Geula and waiting for things to happen. We're supposed to mend it, and you've been involved in so many different projects over your lifetime to make things happen. On the other hand, you're saying that things are going to happen in a miraculous sense, seemingly not like the Rambam says, that things are going to happen b'derech hateva. How do you foresee this happening? Miraculous way or a natural way?
Let me tell you, the Mashiach, as great as he is the greatest kapat that there is. I don't have to do anything. Let him come. He'll do everything. Just the opposite. We have to work to bring the Mashiach. Mashiach, for example, in the Medina. 100 years ago, people wanted the Mashiach. Who's going to come to in the Medina? It's a desert. We have to build it. Like the Gemara says in Tanit, Hashem says, before I come to the heavenly Yerushalayim, I have to come to the earthly Yerushalayim. We have to do things. You don't just rely on Hashem. Hashem made this world. Angels, he had billions, trillions. He wants people working and using the Torah in this kind of a situation, this kind of a world. How it's going to be, we don't know. We don't know. Someone in, for example, in Auschwitz, in January 1945, could they believe another 3 years there'll be a Jewish Medina? Never. They say you're crazy. And there was. Little by little, it's going to happen. But it can happen by leaps and bounds. At a certain point, boom, something's going to happen. We have to be prepared for that change in history. But it's over and above us. But it's going to happen. We have to be on, like you said, we have to be proactive in the areas that we can do. We have to go off the Temple Mount and to try to daven and to move and do things, to study, to prepare the Kohanim.
To make Aliyah.
We can do. But don't just sit back and say, I'll stay here in Williamsburg. And Mashiach will bring calls many years ago. I was in New York in the subway. And two Hasidim sat down next to me. And we started to talk. And they were from Sadma Hasidim. Young men. I asked them, when are you going to come to Eretz Israel? And they said, one said, when Mashiach comes and sends a limousine for us. I said, take a look. You know what Chazal say, when someone dies in Chutzaretz, he has to come to Eretz Israel before Tchiyat HaMeitim, or resurrection, and has to be in a certain kind of a process. He said, your Rebbe is going to come in that process, and you'll be driving in limousines. They got up and walked away from me. But the whole thing is so, that the whole belief, Mashiach, he'll send a mad magic carpet for us. It doesn't work. It never worked that way. That's the way it works. Jewish people, Hashem reacts to what we do. If we don't do, he won't do. Hashem will bless us. Brachtich b'chol ha-shatasem. I will bless you everything that you do, but you have to do. Just can't sit back and wait for Hashem to do it. That can happen. That's not the way Hashem made the world.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
And Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Again, thank you again. Be well.
Thank you for listening to the Bring Them Home Aliyah podcast. If you identify with our message, please subscribe and tell your friends about us too. You can leave us a review on iTunes, as that really helps us grow. We're available on iTunes, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. For sponsorship opportunities and for all other inquiries, please email us at bringthemhomeisrael@gmail.com. Check out our website at www.israeltorah.org for more content on this vital topic.